Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Rue.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
See, it's kind of good. What I should do is make us delayed longer and longer and longer so you guys get desperate, and then the episodes will shorten. Welcome to Radio Dale number 48.
This week in music history, two very significant rock frontmen died.
This week on the charts, the U.S. number one singles this week.
We'll be having a Boogie Woogie Christmas with Jimmy Rankin.
And in part two, we are talking about apps that actually make your music sound better. Okay, this week in music history. November 21st, note this date, 1983, Michael Jackson's 14-minute video for Thriller was premiered in L.A. It was directed by John Landis and co-starring former Playboy centerfold Ola Ray.
I didn't know she was a Playboy.
I don't even remember the name. A random girl.
Yeah.
Ola. John Landis did a lot of things.
I'd say with how big Thriller was, you'd probably have a pretty good resume after that.
Yeah.
November 22nd, 1997, NXS singer Michael Hutchence was found dead in his hotel suite in Sydney. He was 37. His body was found at 11:50 a.m., naked, behind the door to his room. He had apparently hanged himself. It had been suggested that his death resulted from an act of autoeroticism. No forensic or other evidence to substantiate the suggestion was found. Either way, it's very sad that he died because he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He was so cute.
He ruined my life. I was going to say him and David Carradine, same thing. And then he jumped in with he was so cute. And then he did the same thing. So I don't really think of David Carradine.
No, David Carradine, I wouldn't say, is, he was great though.
Yeah, he was great. And once again, we belittle the dead on our show. November 23rd, 1975. Queen started a 9-week run at number one on the UK singles chart with...
I'm trying to think of the line from the song.
That's an interesting... Bohemian Rhapsody!
I was going to guess.
The promotional video. This is interesting. That accompanied the song is generally acknowledged as being the first pop video and cost £5,000 to produce. Now keep in mind, now people are like, $10,000? Think of all the things I could do with that. I'd buy 100 GoPros and do this. That would have been shot on film. They would have had to hire lighting guys, sound guys, all that kind of stuff just to make it, editing it all together.
Pay people
to piece it together. So that was a big, big machine to put that together. £5,000. When the band wanted to produce a single, various record executives suggested to them that at 5 minutes and 55 seconds, it was too long and would never be out. They were right. The end of Queen's career.
November 24th, 1991, Freddie Mercury died of complications from AIDS at his home in London's Holland Park, aged 45, just one day after he publicly admitted he was HIV positive. Mercury was openly bisexual and enjoyed a colorful rock star lifestyle. During his career with Queen, he scored over 40 top 40 UK singles, including the worldwide number one hit...
Sing. I see a little silhouette of a man. We shouldn't sing this song, because we'll butcher it badly.
Sorry, Freddie.
Yeah. Sorry for us singing and ruining your song. 40 top 40 singles.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
November 25th, 2001, our first of two Garth Brooks tidbits this week.
Did he die too?
No, Garth Brooks is alive. Sorry, Garth. November 25th, 2001, Garth Brooks went to number one on the U.S. album chart with his 9th studio album, Scarecrow, the last album by Brooks before his 10-year hiatus.
Was it?
Yeah.
Chris Gaines was before that, wasn't it?
Sure.
Don't you remember his attempt to do like almost an alt-rock album? He like cut his hair short and had like stubble. Yes.
Weird.
Chris Gaines. It was like this weird foray. We should listen to it. I've always wanted to listen to it to see what it was like.
I remember
posters at HIV everywhere. Being like, where have you got books?
Midlife crisis. That's what happened.
Speaking of, not midlife crisis, but Garth Brooks. November 26th. 10 years earlier than the previous one, 1991, Garth Brooks asked fans to bring 10 cans of food to a grocery store in exchange for a lottery envelope, some of which contained tickets to see Garth at a forthcoming show. Over 10,000 cans were donated to charity.
I think that is so cool. That's such really a smart. Neat way to get people to make it fun, to find out if you can get tickets. So not only are you donating food, but then you're also getting the excitement of opening up.
It's like a lottery.
Tickets, yeah.
See, nowadays that would work really well, especially if it included like a meet and greet or something.
So he did that 2 days after Freddie Mercury died in 1991.
He was just trying to steal the new headline.
Oh, dear. And finally, November 27th, not Garth Brooks or Freddie Mercury related. November 27th, 1989, the number one song in Canada was Tears for Fears, Sowing the Seeds of Love.
Sowing
the seeds of love. But really, Tears for Fears were the Garth Brooks of the Queen era. And that has been This Week in Music History. Have a musically historical week.
Welcome to This Week on the Charts. This week, I thought it'd be fun to take a look at the number one songs on U.S. radio. After I finish this blog, you should probably go to www.dalespeaking.com, where my blog today is taking these number one songs and listing them next to the number one singles in Canada. So not only are you going to get a bit of a refresher on this, you're going to see what's charting in Canada. So anyway, here are the number one singles from each format in the US and how many times they are spun as well. So let's start with AC. The number one song is Katy Perry's Roar. It was spun 1,406 times. Woo. In Active Rock, you have Korn with Never Never. Sporn from Korn. At Active Rock, we have Korn with Never Never, and it was spun 1,488 times. Alternative Rock, the number one song, Cage the Elephant with Come a Little Closer, spun 2,256 times. CHR, Miley Cyrus with Wrecking Ball, spun 14,178 times. So proving so far that if you want to be on the radio and spun a lot, be a CHR artist. The number one U.S. country song is Mine Would Be You by Blake Shelton with 6,699 spins. I actually had to obtain that number from MediaBase because country radio in the States is the only format based on audience and not spins. At Heritage Rock, you've got Avenged Sevenfold with Hail to the King, spun 333 times, not a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. Hot AC, you've got Avicii with Wake Me Up, 5,230 spins. The number one mainstream rock song, again, Korn with Never Never, 1,706 spins. At the Rhythmic chart, we've got Drake at number one with Hold On, We're Going Home, Canada. 5,271 spins. At AAA, there is Pearl Jam with Sirens, 614 spins. On the Urban chart, we've got 7 Streetcar featuring Chris Brown at number one, and that is called It Won't Stop. It got 3,977 spins. And lastly, good God, this one made my jaw hit the floor. Urban AC, the number one song still is Robin Thicke with Blurred Lines. Urban AC, what's going on? That was spun 1,529 times. So that's the number one songs charting on U.S. radio. And again, take a look at my blog at dalespeaking.com today to see the number one songs in Canada.
Okay, so it's time to kick off our first Christmas song that we are going to play for you. This might continue for the end of the year, so look forward to it. But first up, we have a new song from Jimmy Rankin. It's called Boogie Woogie Christmas. It was from his album out last year called Tinseltown. And so this is a really great, fun song by Jimmy, and we're working it right now to AC and country radio for Christmas tunes.
Shake off your mittens, hang your snowsuit up. Pour some hot chocolate in your favorite cup. Tune up the guitar and I'll get on the piano. Whoa! Tell your sweet sister put her knickers on. Invite all the neighbors, even mean old Tom. It's time we had a party, some boogie woogie Christmas.
And that was a great song from Jimmy Rankin, wasn't it?
Boogie Woogie Christmas.
Boogie Woogie.
Ho, ho, ho.
I call it Jimmy, was it Jimmy Boogie or something on the wall?
Jimmy Boogie.
I like
yeah,
that too.
I think that's pretty good. So, and we are going to go into now with, into now.
We're going to go into now.
With part two, where we are going to be talking about some very interesting apps to make your music sound good.
Sound better on your phone.
Yeah.
Or other technology.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I guess when we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about for part two, India brought up a list of some apps that she came across. So, India, maybe you can explain why you found this interesting.
There was, okay, so the inspiration was, I think Bon Jovi was coming to Toronto. And so I was looking up things about Bon Jovi, and then I realized that John's brother has created this app called the Bon Jovi app. And it's essentially like an equalizer that is supposed to make your music sound better.
Mm.
And so then I was looking things up about the app, and there were a whole bunch of similar ones. So we decided that we would take a listen to them and see if we could find differences in which we would like if we were to purchase one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they all have different prices and sort of different features. And it's very interesting if you've never sort of used a tool to make
well, for me,
your music change,
yeah.
sound different, to figure out that you can do that.
For me personally, like when I listen to music on my iPhone, I'm not one to sit there and go, oh, this little sound could be better, this piece of production, this, like, I just listen to music, and if I like this song, I like this song. I don't have a rich background in equalizers and all this different
yeah.
stuff. So when India brought these up and we started looking at them and I started reading about them, and I was able to download a couple of free trials.
Versions,
yeah.
yeah.
And it was really interesting to see the difference. But maybe as we go through them, we're going to kind of give you some pros and cons that we've either read or experienced with each one. But also just kind of to see if it's something that is worth it. And also if it's something that Apple should improve, their overall sound, because I think everybody knows the quality of the sound that comes out of your iPad or your iPhone, or even your Mac, isn't that great. It's very compressed, and so that's why headphones like Beats by Dre or whatever headphones are popular, because they, like the ones you're wearing.
Yeah, the Monster ones that we have at the office, they're really good for listening to audio and sort of separating the bass and the treble. And I guess sort of like as a preamble to all of this, obviously there is an equalizer in your Mac. You can kind of play with it in iTunes, but if you didn't know it was there, you would never go to play with it. Most audio programs, apart from your phone, like iTunes one, and we're talking primarily Apple, obviously Android has the same kind of apps, but since everybody in the office has an iPhone and we all work off Macs, it'll be a little Mac-centric today.
Yes.
But the same concept pretty much applies, and that is that audio isn't just one flat thing that can stay the same way. There are ways you can tweak it to sound better. So before we get into the apps that India found that we'd like to discuss, there is sort of a native one inside the iTunes app, which is only, it's basically genre specific, and there's very little you can do with it other than choose one. So say you're listening to a really bassy dance song, they have electronic and they have deep as options. Say you're listening to piano, they have like sort of like a jazz, or they have a classical one, that kind of thing. Or if you're just listening to somebody talk, there's a spoken word. But if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know where to find it. They used to be right up front, click, find it, go. Now you actually have to go into your settings to find these equalizations.
The only time I paid attention to it was when I first got my phone.
Yeah.
And I was playing with all the settings. Now I just listen to music and turn it on, turn it off.
Normally people settle on one and they're like, everything sounds kind of good with this, so now I don't have to bounce back and keep playing with it. but the bonus with these guys is that they actually allow you to expand the sound of the music overall.
The apps.
And when you can go song by song within many of these apps, you can actually play the song within the app and adjust per song. So say you hear something a little different, you want it to be bassier, you could do that actually within that one app. So let's chat about the apps.
All right.
Yay. So the first one was the Bon Jovi app. It's called Digital Power Station. It was available for free download. And then if you want bonus features, you have to upgrade and pay for those.
Basically, and what I found with that one is if you really want to do anything of use, you would have to upgrade. Right. Because you can have it, like Rue was saying, you would have the music play in the app. And you could do a couple of things here and there. There's a button where it literally turns the equalizer on, turns it off. And it works on your laptop, iTunes, speakers. Like there's
headphone specific almost. So there's a setting for your iPhone buds that come with the iPhone, or for your speakers out of your Mac. But the big difference is if you have different headphones, you're supposed to buy a different like profile for those headphones.
Right. Okay.
You have to pay for that.
And if you want to upgrade, so basically, like we said, to pretty much get your use out of it, because it's, and you can also, when you purchase it, you won't have ads, but it's $2.99.
Right.
I found, yeah. So, which is pretty good for, I mean, that's the general price for
all of them,
around that.
So its selling point was that it's able to make you hear things that you normally wouldn't be able to hear. And we all sort of had different experiences with that. Because one of the features is it can take your videos that you take on your phone and put them into the app. So I took a video of a Hanson concert where, you know, all you could really hear was the crowd. And then I listened to it through the app, and I could actually hear the harmonies that they were all doing. And that was the biggest difference that I found. But then Rue, when he was listening to just regular music,
I didn't find much of a difference, mainly between, with one track, I listened to it within the Bon Jovi, and I turned the app, like the equalization, on and off to listen back and forth. And when it was off, it sounded really flat and dull. And I thought, that's weird. Like, when I just listen on my normal iTunes app, it doesn't sound like that. And I'm sort of getting the feeling it's insinuating that's how it normally sounds. So then I went to the iTunes app and it sounded like bright and clear. So that may have been a fault of the headphones. In this case, I was listening with half decent headphones. If I had earbuds, it might actually have that sort of flat sound to it. And the only other thing that I would say against Bon Jovi is when I, not the man, the app.
The people.
When I went and looked through the list just as an experiment for these headphones, weren't listed among their supported headphones.
Which headphones?
The Monster ones.
Okay.
So they have a list like Beats by Dre and all that. And one of their big selling points seems to be, you have headphones, we actually tailor the sound to those headphones. And it had a big long list of headphones, but these weren't listed within. And with the other app we'll talk about later that does the same sort of thing, tailoring to headphones, they also didn't have this particular model. So it kind of takes away from the, buy this and we'll make your headphones sound better. Oh, by the way, it's tailored to your headphones, but we don't have yours, sort of a bit rough.
Yeah. And again, like, if you're maybe a little bit confused, but we're talking about listening in the app and listening in your music app, your regular iPhone music app, mm-hmm. again, it'll integrate all your entire library into this app,
yes.
including videos and whatever you've done with your phone, it'll integrate it into this system. The one thing you see in the small print for a couple of these is that some of them will not play songs from iTunes that are DRM protected.
Yeah.
Which Rue clarified for me is digital rights management.
Exactly.
So if the song is protected and you purchase it on iTunes, it's not going to play in this app. I played an Eric Church song I bought yesterday, and it played. It was fine, so obviously it's not protected. But I took a song that I downloaded from one of my CDs. I burnt it onto my computer and then put it on my iPhone. Noticed a difference mm-hmm. between the two apps when it came to the sound. When I did the Eric Church song that I downloaded from iTunes, heard a difference, but nothing that made me go, oh my God, but definitely heard a difference. So it's just the basic equalizer button, because I didn't purchase the app, so I didn't have all the upgrades. I just overall heard a bit of a heavier bass and the treble was up a bit.
Yeah.
So that's that one. That's
but
a
the song
cool.
that you, from your CD.
I could hear a difference.
Yeah.
Definitely between the iTunes or the Apple Music app on my phone
mm-hmm.
and this app specifically. I could hear a difference between the two. Because when I download straight from iTunes, there's just, I guess it's just a better quality. It's an old CD. It's an old U2 CD. And so.
All right.
Yeah.
So the second one that was sort of similar is called Elephant Candy.
yeah.
Which is a great name.
Yeah. Well, it's called EQ.
EQ. So EQU, basically. Yeah.
So that one is a pretty cool one. What was your experience with that, India?
I didn't download that one.
Oh no!
So I didn't.
That was you too.
Yeah, this one, the EQU, I didn't download it because they don't really. They do offer a free trial, but it's nothing. It's not like the Bon Jovi one.
Yeah, some of them offer like a 10-minute a day trial, so every day you get 10 minutes to play with the app
mm-hmm.
to decide if you want to use it, which is really important for apps because. You can't expect somebody to drop money for something they don't know.
Exactly.
If it works. Yeah.
And so with this the CQU one, I did a little more research in the sense of what people had to say about it. I went on to iTunes. So if you're and this that's a really great point where if you're wanting to get an app but it doesn't offer a preview, go to somewhere like YouTube and type in the name of the app. There's actually people that review it, and they will on the screen you'll be able to watch them navigate through the app and show you how
mm-hmm.
it works. And kind of give you their experience. So I any review I saw of this was actually pretty positive. The interface seems a little more fancy, I guess you could say. It was definitely the one part where you can play with the equalizers. It's actually, I don't know what you would call it, but it's like you can kind of
it
bend
shows the
it.
It's actually like a wave, like a waveform kind of a thing that you can adjust. So it's like it's like a proper EQ that you would see, but with a line connecting all of them.
Exactly, yeah. Where the other ones are like buttons, and now each one of these apps have presets.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would, like Rue said, like the iPhone comes with, your TV would come with. It all comes with audio presets, so you
mm-hmm.
don't have to sit there and play with it. Because me, personally, I'd want to just deal with a preset. I don't want to sit and deal with equalizers. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
I just want to listen to the song. So I'd be fine with the presets. The presets on this one are clearly stated. It's
bass, boost,
it's really clear. It's easy to use. And again, the reviews that I saw on YouTube and that I read, people seem to have a really great experience with this app. The guy that even reviewed it even went as far to say that Apple should purchase this app. The EQU. So I think that's pretty cool. And
EQU sort of confused me a bit because I wanted to play with it. I got to play with Bon Jovi and one of the next ones we're about to talk about because it was available to play with. Mm-hmm. EQU was not available to play with. There was no free version. Yet, it had the most people rated it on iTunes and had pretty much the highest overall rating, especially if you consider it had more than twice the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people seem to trust this app without having to take a trial of it.
Mm.
Or perhaps previously they had a trial and they took it away.
Mm-hmm.
But their average is 4 stars with 869 reviews.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And any review I saw of this one had the most views on YouTube compared to, like, the other ones.
Yeah.
And that's available for $2.99.
So, $2.99.
Ironically, the most popular and most well-known of these is the one that we couldn't actually review because they didn't give us a free trial.
And the one that we're, like, speaking pretty positively about.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'd love if you do have it to let us know how it works.
Yeah. Well, I think I might actually grab it just because, like, I'm so intrigued by this.
Mm.
By this app, just the idea of it, but like I said, I'm a preset girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preset kind of gal.
So, one of the last ones I really enjoyed, it's called MyTunes Pro. And like we said, it has a 10-minute a day free trial. And then if you want the full version, it's more expensive. It's $6.99. So that's a lot more compared to the $2.99s. But what this did that was really cool was you could speed up and slow down the songs without changing the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So they still sounded like normal songs instead of the distorted low or the, you know, chipmunks high.
Yeah.
So what they did with this is they created something called workout mode. And for someone like me who likes to, like, listen to music when working out, this was really cool because there was a feature where it was, like, warm-up, and you select how many beats per minute you want it to be at the beginning and then at the end. So by the end of your warm-up, the speed of the songs would increase. And then it does the same, like, for workout one and workout two, so you can change it. So it was really cool. So it helps you sort of to keep motivated.
That's awesome.
While you're working out. It was really interesting and fun to play with.
Yeah. Now, what did you find comparing it to the Bon Jovi one? What's the actual title of the Bon Jovi one?
The Digital Power
the
Station.
The Digital Power Station. What did you find with the when you compare each of their interfaces? So how they're using their functionality and...
The Bon Jovi app, I kind of find that it sort of, like, looks like an iPhone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it has, like, little circles that are in sort of a matrix of 3x5 or something, and you click them. And it's blue. It's pretty. The MyTunes Pro, it does the thing where it, like, shows you the wave and colors, which I think is pretty. But they're both easy to use.
So they're both pretty easy. They both have their presets.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is cool. So if you're someone that does work out, the MyTunes Pro might be more suitable for you.
Yeah, I think so too.
And
the
indeed,
one warning, MyTunes Pro was the one that had the most battery drain complaints. So it's the
Which
one
makes
that
sense.
It makes
a lot
sense because
it
feels like it's doing the most.
Yeah.
In one case, one of the reviewers said, and, like, obviously this is one reviewer among 77, so it's not really that many reviewers on it, but one reviewer did say they could actually watch the percentages go down while they were playing music. It had an average of 2.5 stars, but in the Canadian store, it's 2 stars.
So if you're going to work out, have a full battery charge.
Yeah, totally. Or if you're going to work out and you have, like, a treadmill, you're probably near a wall. Mm-hmm. You could just plug it in while you're doing it if you're doing that kind of workout, cardio.
Now, one review I watched, or a guy, he went through the MyTunes app, and he said that he tried to, when he plugged his phone into his car and he played with the settings, he didn't hear a huge difference in his car speakers. Mm. So I don't know if that's the same deal for all of these apps.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he made
shouldn't
that point.
Shouldn't be doing things that are so...
But yeah, you shouldn't be driving and playing with that anyway. But
whatever, we're evolved now. We can handle that.
If Rob Ford can do it, we
exactly.
can do it. If he can read and drive, I can play with apps. Well, overall, I think it's a pretty neat idea to be able to have these kind of apps, or just at least one on your system, and be able to not just to play with it and just see, because I was really impressed with just the sound difference, whether it was fooling me or not. I was sitting there going, oh, like this actually sounds full, like it's, but am I going to start using that instead of my
everyday
iPhone
yeah.
music app? I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not that type of person where there's people that are obsessed with this.
And we do have one sort of wild card.
Yes.
That is not a technical app. It's a physical app.
Oh, yeah,
that makes your music sound better. So there is this invention called Soundbender. It's $15, and it's a little, I don't even know how you
it's
would...
It's like a magnetic
it's like a little
clip-on
that you put on your iPhone or on your iPad, and it amplifies the sound coming from it. So if you're, like, facing in a different direction, it makes everything louder.
It basically cups the sound towards you. Because the speakers point away, down away from you, so this brings it to you.
If you're sitting with your phone right now, or your iPad, here's a really good test. Rue did this earlier. Play a song after you listen to us. Play a song, and then just have it playing. Hold your iPhone or your iPad out. And then as the song is playing, cup your hand around, behind, a little bit underneath and behind the speaker, so you're not covering it completely. And just hear the difference in how the sound all of a sudden improves.
Yeah. It's sort of like you're bouncing the sound towards you.
So I read a review for this where someone said, you know, when I'm watching a movie on my iPad by myself, I'll plug my headphones in. But if I have somebody with me, this little contraption actually helps. Because you'll find sometimes you'll be listening to something on an iPad or an iPhone and the sound, you're like... Oh, quiet down. You have to hear it, right?
Yeah.
So,
and this makes it stronger.
It's a neat little invention, and I'm sure we're going to see knockoffs soon in the dollar store
and
all those things.
it was featured on Shark Tank.
That's cool.
So it got its start there, and it's on sale for $15, but it could be a fun stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
That's really true. That would be neat for the person who watches all their movies and everything like that. That's a really good idea. So, and we're going to list all of these
in the show notes.
So you'll be able to go through and see where you can download these, get all the information, because we want to share them.
So, back in the good old days, iTunes used to run its podcasts within the iTunes app. And then they created a separate podcast app because people were using an app called Downcast instead. How long do you think it's going to be until Apple adds some kind of equalization that's much more diverse than just deep spoken word or whatever to their iTunes to maybe start shutting out some of these people and drawing people into their apps?
I would say within the next couple of years. I mean, why not? But is there a con to Apple doing this?
Yeah, I guess the only con would be is if it was buggy, kind of like Apple Maps. Though, because when Apple Maps came out, everybody complained about how buggy it is. The irony now being that Apple Maps is now apparently one of the most used map programs in the world. So the question is, if Apple were to say, as you suggested, buy... but say they thought it sucked and they bought Elephant Candy EQ and integrated the entire thing into their iTunes. Do you think that would be a selling point for Apple? Or do you think that's just one more thing?
I think it'd be a selling point because their whole mandate is to... constantly improve.
Yeah.
So make it bigger, make the camera better, make this better, make that better. So it's just another selling point to buy the iPhone 15.
Exactly.
down the road.
It really does. And it also just makes music so much more hands-on for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And I can see this making people want to do more of their own things.
Now, you as a musician, how would you feel?
I think that would be awesome because I wouldn't have to go out and buy a separate app. But it's funny because of the arguing over pennies. That's what I mean, I think it would be neat for, you mean...
As you making the music and then...
People...
How do you feel about people?
Like, you are Eric Church and India is buying your song, but she's going into an app and then playing with the sound. Or you are the producer.
The producer, I think, would be
more upset.
Or
the recording engineer.
Yeah.
Think those people would be like...
It's like chefs seeing you put ketchup on there, perfectly cooked steak.
It's like, since when are we all experts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is how they would think, maybe.
Yeah.
So...
I think that because you never know what you're going to get out of a set of speakers, I don't see why equalization is a big deal. Because car speakers sound different than your headphones, sound different than your TV speakers. So things, you can equalize or master your music as best as you can for everything, but people may want to hear more bass or they may want to hear less treble.
Yeah.
So they'll want to tweak it. So I think equalization is good for those who want to take the time.
Yeah.
And tweak with it.
Definitely. Neat.
Yay!
Very neat. So check those out.
And that has been Radio Dale number 48. I am Rue.
I'm India.
And I'm Amber.
If you would like to find us online, we are at Dale Speaking. Twitter, Dale _Speaking. Facebook, Dale Speaking. We're everywhere. Just look for Dale Speaking. You'll find us.
Just go to Google and type in Dale Speaking.
You'll find us, but you may find some kind of seminar by some guy named Dale Carnegie about speaking. Ignore it. And don't give it any of your money.
Do not go to Dale Carnegie. Only go to Dale
Only
Peters.
Only go to Dale Peters / speaking. Yes. Mr. Speaking wants to speak to you. Do we have any last things that we would like to say?
More Christmas music will be coming up next week.
Yes.
And CHFI in Toronto. Full-blown Christmas.
Full-blown Christmas.
Full-blown. So it's here. It's upon us.
You think you got it bad because we're playing a song. Check out CHFI. It streams online. If you're in the Christmas spirit and want to stay in the Christmas spirit, don't go there. Wait till December. I probably shouldn't say that out loud.
Listen to CHFI.
Listen to CHFI 24/7 when you sleep.
And we also have the streams on CBC Music, Galaxy. It's happening. Apocalypse now.
Apocalypse.
Serenity now.
Oh, God.